next week, but I felt the Lord just wanted us to convey again how much that he loves us, and I wanted to encourage you with that message today. I've been studying my Bible study this week. I saw the story of the Gadarene demoniac, and Jesus goes and heals this man, and I was really tempted to share that story today, but one of my other favorite passages about God's love is Psalm 103, and of course, I'm sitting down with Sindhu and Minnie, and Sindhu starts quoting Psalm 103 yesterday. I'm like, okay, this is probably where we should go. So I hope that you be encouraged today. This is a great passage of encouragement. So let's start together and look in Psalm 103, and we'll start in verse 1. We're just going to read through verse 5 to get started. This is King James, but I'll have NIV here in just a little bit. The scripture says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeemeth your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Again, great passage, and we're going to look through the whole passage today. I want to kind of keep in line with the things we've been doing with our Unstuck series. Again, we've had a lot of really neat things come out of handing out the books. I know that when Christina shared not too long ago that she gave one of the books to a coworker, and that coworker ended up calling the New Life number, and it actually has, for at least for the time being, has preserved their marriage. So that's a huge thing, all right? It's a little thing that you can do, but again, everybody, as people come in, we want to be able to share it with them, but as we go out, if you know somebody that is really going through a hard time, and they're facing some problems, please take a Healing is a Choice book or take a Recovery Bible or take both and just give those out and tell them the Lord loves them and share those. That's what we've got them for, okay? So please do that and share them as you see fit. Last week was really, really powerful when Dennis Brooks came here and shared his story. And I just am so in such admiration of someone who would be willing to open up themselves and say, "Look, my name's Dennis and I'm an alcoholic." And he's been alcohol-free for 40 years, which is pretty amazing, right? But he shared with us, to me, it was such a message of hope. I don't care where you're at and what you're dealing with. The Lord says, "Look, I have a plan for you, and I can help you through this if you will trust me and if you'll find people put around you." And so Dennis's reminder last week is that God's grace is amazing and that the gospel has power for people to overcome anything that they're facing if they will trust him. So keep that in mind. I don't have the slide up here, but just a reminder again, the definition we've been using about being stuck is this idea of enduring the same thing over and over, hoping something will change, but never realizing the changes that it will effectively bring. In the computer world, we like to call that insanity. You do the same thing over and over, you expect different results. Yeah. So if you find yourself there, either in your marriage or some other relationship or in your job, if you're just doing the same thing over and over, and you're expecting change, it's not going to happen without the catalyst of the gospel. So today I want to give you kind of a profile on what it would be to be stuck, and we've done different people this way. We did a mom who was stay-at-home mom. We did a mom who was working. We did a dad or a father and how he was facing temptation at work kind of thing. And so today I just created one by the name of Isabel. You may or may not relate to her story. If you do, then really listen to the message today. But if you don't, you might think of somebody that you know has been in this spot. Most of you probably know somebody who's been in this place. So the profile today is about unworthy. Some people feel like they are unworthy. I don't know if you've ever been there, but this many people deal with this problem. Isabel's greatest fear is to be known. She thinks if somebody really knew her and knew her past, that there is no way they could ever love her or respect her. She thinks that what she has done is unforgivable. She has stayed stuck in her mask. She hides part of her life so that she can cope and hopefully, maybe, she can be loved. What she doesn't realize is that God does know her, and even more than that, he loves her. Okay? You guys, I've dealt with people long enough to know that there are people that come in places just like this. There are people in churches all over today that their thinking is, if you really knew me, if you really knew what's in my heart, you wouldn't love me because you would know how bad of a person I am. Here's the message today. God does know you. Scripture says, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knows you, and he loves you. You hear me today? That's what I'm trying to share. If you got that, you can kind of sleep now and go for the rest of the time. You got the message today, okay? That's the point, all right? God knows you. He knows your mess. He knows your junk. He knows the inmost thoughts, and he knows your heart. And yet, he let his son die on your behalf so that you could be forgiven and reconciled to him. That's the gospel. And that will help so many people get unstuck. And so that's what we have up here for the gospel part today of the message. God loved the world. God loves you. The very creator of the universe has pursued you in spite of your sin. And he demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is a really old illustration, but I thought it was pretty good. It's from D.L. Moody from Chicago, like back in the late 1800s. And he says, show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community. In Chicago, a few years ago, a little boy attended a Sunday school I know of. When his parents moved to another part of the city, the little fellow still attended the same Sunday school, although it meant a long, tiresome walk each way. A friend asked him why he went so far and told them that there were plenty of others just as good nearer his house. They may be as good for others, but not for me, was his reply. Why not? She asked. Because they love a fellow over there, he replied. Can't you imagine some little fourth or fifth grader saying that? Because they love a fellow over there. D.L. Moody says, if only we could make the world believe that we love them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door. Let love replace duty in our church relations, and the world will soon be evangelized. Hello? Let love replace duty in our churches, and then we'll see the power of the gospel. Are you here today because it's Sunday morning, it's 10:30, and well, that's what I do on Sunday at 10:30. I go check off my box that I showed up at church then. Are you here today because today is Sunday? It's the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior who came and died and rose again for us and has freedom for us if we would trust in him. Are you here because you love the Lord today? Or are you here because of duty? I hope that we can be a church where people say they love a fellow over there. And not just fellows, but ladies too, right? All right, let's look today in Psalm 103. And Lord willing, I shouldn't probably say this out loud, but I think this will actually be a shorter sermon than normal. Can you believe that? Hang in there. Psalm 103, verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." As he writes out this song, he says, I'm going to start, and what's really cool, he's going to end with praise. You guys, does that sound familiar? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? What's that start with? It starts with praise, doesn't it? How does the Lord's Prayer end? Right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us evil. Why? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen, right? We have the kingdom, the power, and the glory at the end. We have hallowed be thy name at the beginning. This is no coincidence, I don't think, that when Jesus says, you want to know how to pray, this is how you pray. You start and end with praise. Are you stuck today? If you are, in your prayer life, start and end with praise. And what we're going to look at today is why we can praise the Lord. There's probably a few passages as wonderful as this one for why we can praise the Lord. When you recognize the true character of the God you serve, I think you will do the same. You will praise the Lord. Look in verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So you're about to find out, David's saying here, what we're going to see in the next few verses is I'm going to tell you how the Lord has benefited for me. And what I like is how the psalmist talks to himself. You ever do that? Did you catch that? Come on, Jada. You're nodding your head there. I think you do, right? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Soul? Self? Travis? Right? Don't forget. Praise the Lord. What has the Lord done for you? That's what I want to ask you just for a second here this morning. Don't answer out loud, but today as you remind yourself of who the Lord is that you serve, what has God already done for you? See Todd shaking his head. I know he's been blessed like crazy. I've been bachelor for like just 2 days now, and it's driving me crazy. But what I've been reminded of is I am so blessed to have the wife and the son and the daughter that I have. Man, the Lord is good to me. Anybody here today the Lord been good to? I got to drive all the way to Kentucky, like 3.5 hours there and back yesterday. Made it safe. Got to spend time with some incredible friends here of God's work in faraway places and be fed incredible food. The Lord is good to me. Do you have a reason to praise the Lord today? See, what happens is when we get stuck sometimes, we forget what we have. Hello? We get stuck because we get so focused on what we don't have, right? I don't have this car. I don't have this house. I don't have this spouse. I don't have this job promotion. I don't have this. I need this, 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 this is what I need, and I'll be happy. And what the psalmist says, you know what I'm thinking about now is what the Lord has done for me. And that helps us so much get out of that being stuck, all right? Today, just sit there and thank the Lord as you work through the message today about how God has been good to you. I know that he has. I know that he has. Look in verse 3. Here are these benefits. David begins to list them out. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life, or who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. So here's some benefits that the psalmist lays out. First off, God forgives. And sometimes we forget, I think, God doesn't have to forgive you. Oh. We are so accustomed to his character and to the knowledge that he does forgive. Sometimes I think we almost expect it. But God doesn't have to forgive, but he does. That is who he is. I think just a couple weeks ago, I talked to you a little bit about, remember we used the big words propitiation, and then we did pardon, right, and the difference. Pardon is like, well, I'm just going to let you go. It doesn't matter what you did, I'm going to let you go. But God didn't do pardon. God did propitiation. He said, there's got to be a payment of a penalty for me to let you go. And that means somebody is going to have to die. That means there's going to have to be blood shed for sin to be atoned for. That's how much God loves you when we talk about forgiveness. Not only does he forgive, he heals. And if true healing takes place, God is at the source of it. I'm going to say this way too much today. You guys, just can you go ahead and forgive me now for talking about Sindhu and Minnie so much today, but I just love being around them, right? We talked about this idea yesterday that, you know, sometimes people talk about just having enough faith, you just have faith, that they wouldn't take medicine. And I think medicine is good. I think the Lord has given us doctors and he's given us counselors to help us, people with wisdom that love him and that will try to help us with those things. At the same time, what we talked about yesterday is that our initial response should always be, Lord, you be at work in me. And then you lead me where to go. You follow what I'm saying? All right? Healing may come through a psychiatrist, a psychologist, through a doctor, other kind of doctor, or a counselor, or a therapist. But really, all healing ultimately comes from the Lord. All right? Think about that today. Our God heals. And so thank the Lord for the benefit. Has anybody here ever been healed? You ever seen the Lord do a healing work in your life? Man, I have. He redeems us from the pit. Now, I thought about this. You think about Joseph. We talked about that a few weeks ago, right? His brothers throw him in the pit for just a little bit, then they end up selling him into slavery. Of course, if that was me, if I had any gumption at all, I'd be trying to take out my brothers, right? But the Lord, in Joseph's life, Joseph could say, you know what? I made it out of the pit. I made it out of the prison cell. I made it out of slavery. And now I am next to the Pharaoh in Egypt in my authority. The Lord has redeemed me out. Or the prodigal son, right? Again, that same idea. That guy is sitting there. He's spent everything he had. He's down with the hogs. He's been feeding the hogs. And he's like, I'm so starving, I could almost eat that husk right there. And all of a sudden, it opens up on him. Wait a minute. I don't have to live like this. My father's got so much. I can just go be a slave for him. And so he remembers that benefit that the Lord rescues and he delivers. And God has a way of rescuing children when they seek him for their help. Hello, hear that today, okay? If you're needing help, reach out to the Lord. He has that way of doing that. And then probably the one I almost like the best in this paragraph, he satisfies your desires with good things. Good things. Now, was there work before the fall? Before Adam and Eve sinned, was there work? Yeah. Nobody likes to think about that. Everybody thinks that work is a curse, right? No, toil is a curse. But work has always been. Adam and Eve were working, and they were being fulfilled from their work before the fall ever happened. Have you ever done satisfying work? Now, you guys know my story here, right? I'm a computer geek, and I like to play music. But when it comes to even barely putting a light bulb in, I have a hard time with that, right? Okay, I'm not going to fix somebody's house very well. I'm not like a lot of you guys are out there. But I remember at Calvary one time I was working, we were putting on a roof, and Tom Johnson and I stayed till the very end of the day. This was a huge roof on the top. And we drove those last nails in, and you finished, and you look at what you did, and you're like, man, that feels good. We fixed it, we did it, we made it right. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? When you can use your talents and your abilities and be fulfilled from that, that is the Lord actually allowing you to be satisfied in that. How many of us today can just thank the Lord that he satisfies us with good things? Not the empty stuff like we've been talking about that keeps us stuck, but with fulfilling stuff like good relationships and good family and friends, good work that glorifies his name. And can I say this without getting too much trouble? Good food and good play. Really? Sometimes we try to guilt people too much about that, I think, but really, who made the food? The Lord did, right? And that's why we thank him for it. That's the big difference between the believer and the unbeliever. If I have the opportunity to have a wonderful steak dinner and potato and the Caesar salad, I am celebrating to the Lord. This was great. Thank you so much. And the unbeliever says, boy, look what I bought with the money that I made and the things that I did, right? Today, praise the Lord because of his goodness to you to give you things that satisfy. Man, the Lord is good to us. Remember that. Hang on to that. Hold on to that today. A familiar psalm, verse 4, chapter 37. The scripture simply says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a great passage. Okay? This verse does not say you can have whatever you want. This verse says, put your passion, your love in the God who has rescued you and redeemed you. And then you can have whatever you want. Because what you want will be what he wants. Again, Lord's Prayer, right? Daily bread. The Lord will give you what you need to do for the things that he has for you to do today. He will do it. That's his character. That's his nature. Today, is your passion, is your delight in the Lord? If it is, he will satisfy you. Again, back to the Psalm 103 idea. There we see a picture that the Lord renews our strength, that he brings justice for the oppressed. And then a very important thing here, and I think we overlook this as well, the Lord has revealed himself. See, God could have stayed distant. He could have stayed in a way that we wouldn't really know who he is. He could have set up the world kind of like a clock or a watch and just kind of pushed it out there and let it do its thing. But the Lord interacts in this planet. And he has been doing that for thousands of years. And he's revealed us through his word and through his servants that we know who he is. We know what he loves. We know what he hates. And so that's what we need to pursue. And that's how we can know the Lord. And again, that's a huge blessing that God is a personal God. He didn't just stay distant from us. And here David writes that he revealed himself through Moses so the people could know who he is. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18, the same truth comes to light. John writes, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. How do I know God? Because I know Jesus. Right? What do you know about Jesus today? Well, you know he was very smart, right? You know that he was sinless. Okay. You know that he was incredibly powerful, wasn't he? Right? He healed the blinded eyes. Again, I've been reading Mark this week, and Jesus put his fingers in one guy's ear, and then he popped them out, and then the guy could hear, and then he could talk. The power of the Lord. We know that he walked on water, but most importantly, we know that he died and he rose again, right? We know about God because God has revealed himself through his Son. That's what John tells us. And that's another way that we know. Your Lord is not hiding from you. He is for you, and he has revealed himself, his character, and his characteristics to you. Now, what I wanted to hit you up with again, and we're going to hit it a few times this morning, God has a pattern of demonstrating his love for a long time. His love bears forth with action. Something I have a hard time with because I'm a preacher. Preachers like to talk, right? We just do. Wednesday nights, I'm the one that's talking all the time. People are like, could you be quiet for a little bit? Let somebody else talk. We like to talk, but is there action? Well, with the Lord, he shares and reveals, but he has plenty of action to back up, doesn't he? Look at his testimony, the things that he has done. So verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, he's gracious, he is slow to anger, he abounds in love. This is God's characteristic. There are so many people today that they think God is out to get them, that he's trying to hurt them, crush them, push them down, that he is not for them, that he wants to see them hurt. But the scripture declares exactly the opposite, doesn't it, right? The scripture here in Psalm says, no. The Lord, he is compassionate, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, and he abounds in love. That's the God that we serve. And that's the message we need to get out. God is for you. People need to hear that. Isabel, the girl I talked about at the beginning, who thinks she's so unworthy and that nobody could really love her if they knew her, she needs to hear that God is for her, that God knows her and God loves her. And the only way she's going to hear that is from you. When you love and serve and reach out and give that person a hug and say, God loves you. He knows you. He loves you. Look down at verse 9. Scripture says, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now see, if I was sitting in your shoes when I just read that, I would be like up and dancing and shouting. Did you not catch that? Some incredible, incredible truths there, right? The Lord doesn't get angry. He does get angry, but he doesn't harbor his anger forever. He is merciful. What if he paid you for your iniquities? What if God paid you what he owed you? No thank you, right? I don't want in on that deal. If God paid me what I owed me, I end up with hell. I end up with destruction. I end up with horrible consequences. But God doesn't pay us what we deserve. Instead, he gives us his son. What a deal. Celebrate today. Praise the Lord because of who he is. And that's why we can kind of get out of being unstuck. How high are the heavens above the earth? Did you guys hear there's like some new phone app that they've created, an iPhone app that this guy created just to see how high you could throw your iPhone? And all these people were getting back with cracked iPhones because they weren't able to catch them when they were dropping to the ground. Right? How high are the heavens above the earth, right? Well, the psalmist says here, that's how much God loves those who fear him. You know, little kids, I love little kids sing, right? Deep and wide. I can do my emotions right. Right? Deep and wide. And they're like, wide. God is telling you today, you know how much I love you? Look at the moon. The distance between the moon and the earth, that's what I love you. Look at the sun. The distance between the sun and the earth, that's how much I love you. Take courage today, people. God loves you. He cares so much for you. And it doesn't stop there. Right after that, he says, you want to talk about your sins? Well, I'll tell you where they're at. They're as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Who knows, right? That's infinity. When God says, I forgive you and you repent of your sins, he says, they're gone. As far as the east is from the west. Right? Remember that little story told last week, right, about the woman who was having the dream and the old college person said, well, the Lord knows I did horrible things and ask him about my sins. And she said, okay, I saw him in a dream and I asked him and he said, what sins? He didn't remember them anymore. Right? This is the truth. This is the God that we serve. If we repent and trust him, he pushes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has compassion on us like a good dad. Now, I don't know how many of you had good dads. I have a pretty good dad, although he was frustrating to me once or twice in my life, okay? But a good dad has compassion on their kids. And the way I kind of compare that to is like a good dad lets their kids struggle a little bit, doesn't try to do everything for them, right? My dad was a great mechanic, and I was horrible at cars, but he would let me struggle. So I would go and work and try to get the brake pads on and cut my fingers and slice things up, you know, finally get kind of close, and I had dad come out, and my dad would have compassion on me because he was trying to teach me, and then he would help me finish the job because he loved me. The Lord is like a good father. He is full of compassion, and he wants his kids to learn, but he always comes to the rescue as they seek his face. The thing I want you to catch hold of, and it's important, in verse 13 and also in an earlier verse, he says, for those who fear him. This doesn't mean that you're perfect, all right? This means that you're pursuing the Lord. If you're not pursuing the Lord, here's what you're going to face. You're going to face judgment and consequence. That's the scripture. I'm not giving you a message today that says, well, God loves everybody. He loves them all the time. Doesn't matter what you do. And if you don't like him, it doesn't matter. That's not the gospel. That's not the message, okay? The message is that God's compassion and his grace, it shows up to everyone, but it's received by those who fear him. You follow what I'm saying? That is an important part, even to the psalmist. He notes that. Look down at verse 14. The Lord knows us. Again, if you're afraid today, preacher, if you knew me, you would not love me. You would think I was a horrible person. And I'm telling you today, the Lord knows you. He does. And he loves you. Verse 14, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. And that's kind of a quick description of that, isn't it? James talks about like our life is like a vapor. It's going to go quick. I mean, I'm almost 45. I'm telling you, it gets quicker all the time. All right? It's going fast. But the Lord knows us. He knows that we're just dust. He knows that things are very temporary. And so this is the point this morning. And this is why I want to get across to you as well. Life is temporary and short, but eternity is not. If you haven't seen it yet, and I'll probably pull it out later this spring, there's a guy by the name of Francis Chan. We've studied some of his stuff on Wednesday nights. He's got a video of a rope. Have you guys seen this video with the rope? He has a rope. It probably would go like down the bottom of the stage and all the back of the stage and go all the way over around here, like a huge, maybe 150-foot-long rope. And then he grabs the rope, and he has like the very end of it taped red, and it's about like this much. And he says, this is your life, and this, and he starts going all the way around the rope, is eternity. And why are we so focused on this if we need to be focused on the whole thing, right? The Lord recognizes that today. Today, if you're stuck, remember, you're not thinking about just here and now. You're thinking about a big picture, and God understands that. Again, I want to bring the verse up because if I don't get anything else across today, this is it. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knows your mess. He knows your junk. He knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows your self-esteem. He knows the mistakes you made. And he says, while you were still in that state, I gave my son for you. I love you. Man, I wish I could come down each of you and just hug you and let you know God loves you. Okay? No matter what your junk is, God loves you. Christ died for us. He created you. He loves you with all your flaws, all your failures. He loves you so much he gave his only begotten son. Look in verse 17. So we went from temporary, right, from the dust, from the grass. But look in verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over you. Notice the difference between eternity and then just the short picture of time, right? Again, notice the idea too, the idea of fear. Those who fear and trust and revere the Lord, there is love for them. And here's why I love. This is going to be passed down to their children's children. Now, I've been trying to encourage you guys since I've been here a short time. I know we're small in number many times, but what we're looking at is if we can see some lives change, just this one person, if they become a Christian, if their life gets changed, we may be bringing grace to their kids and their grandkids and their neighbors and their family and their friends. Do you follow the impact of that? Like, it was so encouraging to me that night. We had stayed at church, had our chili cook-off, had a great time. And Christina was sharing with all of us that this one book got handed to one person and may have, you know, we're hoping that it has changed a marriage, right? And if that marriage gets right, what's that going to do for those kids or those stepkids or those grandkids? Are you following me? It's huge, guys. So we need to be obedient and do what the Lord leads us to do. And even the things that we may see small may be really large and ultimately eternal. But what I want to see here is that it's passed down. Those blessings are not just for you, but they're for your children and your grandchildren. As we pursue the Lord, his love rolls down to generation after generation. I'm living proof here today because my grandpa Malone decided that he would follow the Lord. My life has been incredibly blessed. And then because my dad decided that he would turn away from the life he was in and follow the Lord, my dad was not born in a Christian home by any means at all, And because he pursued the Lord, I've been incredibly blessed. You hear me? You want your kids to be blessed today? Pursue the Lord, and those blessings roll down. All right, again, ultimately what we see here in verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So let's wrap this up, just like the psalmist did in verse 20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding and obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And I would read it even louder, but I'm afraid it'd scare you. Do you know what he's saying? Rick gets it, right? He's like, I think about what the Lord has done for me. Praise the Lord. Angels, praise the Lord. All his works, praise the Lord. My soul, praise the Lord. He's so good to me. Praise him. And that's what we need to do some days. Really, every day we need to be communing with him. But some days we need to kind of set aside all of our needs and all of our wants and all of our worries. And just think about what the Lord has done. And you will find courage and strength in that. When the psalmist thinks ultimately about the Lord, all he can do is praise him. What a wonderful, mighty, loving, compassionate God we serve. Look at it again. God is for you. God is for you. I could say it 100 times today. God is for you. Don't believe the lies from the other people. The Lord loves you. He has proven his love. He's demonstrated. Well, this final illustration today, this is pretty good. There was a certain medieval monk, and you guys know what monks do, right? And they don't speak most of the time. He announced he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. And so as the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, the congregation all gathered together. And in the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle, and he carried it up to the crucifix. And so first of all, with the candle, he illumined the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. And then next, he illumined the wounded hands on both sides. And then he illumined the marks of the spear wound. And finally, he illumined the scars in his feet. And it says, in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle, and he left the chancel. And there was nothing else to say. God demonstrates his love toward us in this, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is for you today. God is for you. Let's stand this morning, and we'll have a quiet time here, and I'll let you to pray if you like. If you want to bring a friend, come to the altar and pray, you're sure welcome to do that. I'm going to go play music just for a little bit to give us some time. And today, if your heart is hurting, take it to the Lord this morning. Today, if you're in a good state of mind, think about the benefits that the Lord has given to you. And just like the psalmist did, as you hear the music play, praise the Lord in your heart and your spirit for his grace to you. So let's take some moments to commune with the Lord. finish up. Please continue to pray for what the Lord is doing in our hearts. Pray for our Wednesday night services. They've been really good. Pray for the people that you're inviting, that the Lord will speak to their hearts, and eventually they will come and hear the gospel. So be in prayer about that. Just a few things. Again, we want to keep reminding everybody about kind of what's coming up. Next week, we're going to look at grieving your losses. This is the key. If you want to get over the junk and you really want to get out of being stuck, whatever you're being stuck in that's causing you to try to medicate with drugs or with pornography or with other things, if you can learn how to grieve your losses, you can overcome that stuff. It'll be a huge thing to look at. We're going to look at probably kind of the life of Jonah and see some different pictures of grief from him. So be in prayer for that, and you can bring friends if you would to come hear about that. And then 2 weeks we're going to look at boundaries. And this is something that's really new to me, because I'm kind of not really a sensitive person. I should be more sensitive, probably. But what I learned even last week from Dennis, when he was talking about, he was an alcoholic, and he had a great mask on when he was working, but when he would, in the evenings, he would really lose it. And he got to that place in his life where his wife, when they were getting ready to have a kid, Kathy, she set a boundary. She had been to Al-Anon, and she set a boundary, and she said, you know what, I am not going to work after we have this child. You're going to have to figure it out. And that was enough to shock Dennis into, like, I'm going to have to do something different. And her boundary ended up making the huge difference in him taking the steps to find healing, forgiveness, and that kind of thing, all right? So in 2 weeks, we're going to look about boundaries, and we need to figure about boundaries with our kids, boundaries in our marriage, giving people that have been passive and have been abused the strength to take a stand and to set those things forward. So be in prayer about that as well. Again, be in prayer for the people that you're inviting, and the cards and everything we put out, the banners, all that good stuff. So don't forget to do that as well. I mean, please invite some people. Again, please feel free to take a book or a Bible and share that out. Also, we'll have the blog post. And this week, I think I am going to share out about the alcoholism. Okay, we haven't done that yet. So you'll see Just One More Drink on the church Facebook page. If you read about that and you're like, boy, I know some people I think could be encouraged by that, then do us a favor and just share that out on Facebook so other people will see that. So just cross Life Real Baptist Church Facebook and then share that out. And we've been seeing really good impact through those blog articles. And then, again, just in your bulletin, stick it in your pocket, or write it down on a note. This could make someone's life, could make a difference, complete difference in their life. If they're needing help, what's awesome about New Life is they will call and get the right type of counseling. Okay? So if I'm having a porn problem, I can call them. They will direct me to go to Every Man's Battle and the right kind of counselor for that. If I'm having a prescription drug problem, they can get me in touch with the right person in Indianapolis who can help me with that. If I'm having a grief issue or a depression issue and I needed this kind of help, they can get people in touch with that. And that's why that number is so good. What we want to be around those people is just be their family. So we can pray with them, we can eat with them, we can hear their story. If we need to take them, get them there, whatever, we want to do that. But there's really some healing if people will step out, and we're trying to give you the tools to be able to do that. All right. And you guys, it's so good to see all of you here today. And we had a lot of people missing today, so pray for them, that God will be with them and encourage them. And hopefully we'll see everybody next week. Michael, would you come and share any announcements that we have?